As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great Friday morning. It's beautiful. We have beautiful weather here in Texarkana, Texas. And it's been nice all week with a little bit of chill in the air. And so looking forward to a great day and a great weekend. And just wanted to go over things today with you, things that have been in the news. I was thinking about the interview I had on Monday with M.D. Perkins, who was the director of Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. You can see that movie. It's free. Go to culturewarrior.movie, and you can watch it free today. And I remember when we talked on Monday, I said, well, MD, what do you want people to walk away with from watching this documentary? And he said this, and it's really stuck in my mind. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. That means little old you, little old me, when we stand up for the Lord, when we stand up for truth, when we're willing to get out of the boat and walk on the water with Jesus and respond. When he said, you know, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water with Jesus. Hey, you may think you're insignificant, but you can make a difference as you shine, as you share, as you stand up for Jesus. Well, in the news, people are talking. Jenna was talking. I was listening to her program just a little bit ago and talking about Pam Bondi being the new selection by President Trump for the Attorney General of the United States of America. And Jenna referred to this. The liberal political scientist Jason Johnson was on MSNBC, and he is very concerned about Pam Bondi because, not because she is unqualified, but because she is very qualified to be the Attorney General. This is what he had to say.
Pam Bondi is exactly what I was saying in the last segment that we should all fear, because she's competent. We may not agree with her ideologically, but she actually knows how to do this job. So if anyone on the Democratic side or anyone who cared about liberty or justice was thinking, well, maybe Matt Gaetz will screw this up and that'll give us some time. No, Pam Bondi knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing about immigration. Remember, Florida is one of those states that's been very aggressive about migrants and deportation and moving people to different states and everything else like that. Florida has enacted all sorts of rules and laws to curtail students and what they can do on campuses and finding legal justifications for manipulating education money. She is a dangerous and effective pick, and that's frankly worse than what we would have got with Matt Gaetz, even with the deplorable moral background that he has.
Yeah, and I want to discuss that with a little more depth with both of you, including her record on civil rights, LGBTQ rights, and other issues that are front and center at the DOJ, and which we know were also big campaign issues this cycle.
So that was MSNBC talking about Pam Bondi. She seems to be a great choice, the former attorney general for the state of Florida, and did a great job and has the background for it. So we're excited about what we see taking place. As we talked yesterday, you know, Donald Trump is putting together a coalition of people to help him transform America and get America back to its roots and back to law and order, back to sanity, back to spending money wisely, not wasting money. It's a huge undertaking, but it needs to, something that needs to happen. And you're going to hear the screams come when departments get defunded. I was reading how Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy were talking about defunding Planned Parenthood. Well, that needs to happen ASAP. Planned Parenthood is the baby-killing organization in America that gets hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money is sickening. And you might have seen in the news that Cecile Richards, who was the president of Planned Parenthood from 2006 to 2018, was just on Wednesday given by President Biden the Presidential Medal of Freedom for her work overseeing Planned Parenthood. And for her work, as it was stated, in defending a woman's reproductive rights. That's what they call it. The left calls abortion, which is truly the brutal murder by dismemberment, ripping a baby apart piece by piece in the womb. They call that reproductive rights because that sounds a whole lot better than what it really is. And so it's just sickening to see that. That we celebrate abortion in America. And abortion is going to bring the judgment of God upon our land, just like it brought the judgment of God upon Israel as they sacrificed their children to the false god Molech. They would have their sons, their daughters pass through the fire. That's what the Bible calls it. They passed through the fire, which meant they offered up their babies on the altar of Molech in the fire. And to curry that false god's favor. That was the idea. And we are going to cover all these bases and worship all these false gods. It is sickening. You know, you had the showdown in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah, the prophet of God, got the people together, and he had the 400 prophets of Baal against the one prophet of God. And he said to the people, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If God is God, serve him and fear him. And if Baal is God, serve him and fear him. But get off the fence." And they didn't say anything. They didn't answer him a word when he asked that question. Then he said, "Well, let's have a showdown. We'll see who is really God. And we'll build an altar and have a sacrifice on the altar. And the God who answers by fire, he's going to prove himself to be the true God." Well, as you know, the story in 1 Kings 18, the prophets of Baal called on Baal for hours and Baal didn't answer. Why? Because Baal's not God. Baal can't answer. Baal is nothing. Just a demonic force there with Baal, and they answer to the Lord, and so Baal was not able to do anything. Elijah mocked them. Maybe your God is in the bathroom. Maybe you need to yell louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on vacation, and so they would yell louder. But when Elijah called on the Lord God, who is God, he answered with fire. He doused the offering with water. If you remember, put water on the offering. Do it a second time. Do it a third time. And the offering was drenched, and the wood was drenched, and there was a moat that they built around it, you know, a little trench, and that was drenched with water. And when he called upon God to answer with fire, God sent the fire down and licked up the water, the offering, the stones, everything went up in the flames. And the people responded and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And they slew the prophets of Baal. And God was proven to be God. Listen, we need to make the decision in our own lives. How long will we hesitate between two opinions? How long will we try and ride the fence, one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and say, "Well, I can manage both"? You can't. You have to be all in. The Lord is looking for people that are all in. And going back to the culture warrior about Don Wildman, he was all in. He was one guy who made a difference because he was all in for the Lord, and he wanted his life to count. The Bible says, Revelation 12:11, talking about overcoming our adversary, the devil, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. And so when we adopt that attitude where it's, listen, I'm trusting in Jesus alone, I'm trusting in the blood of the Lamb, they overcame him by the by the blood of the Lamb, by Calvary, by the word of their testimony, confession, and they did not love their lives even unto the death. That is commitment. And we have to be all in. We have to be committed to the Lord and surrendered to the Lord and say, Lord, my life belongs to you. I want you to use my life however you see fit. And it's not my will, but it's yours that needs to be done, just as Jesus prayed that three times in the garden. Well, I have no respect for pastors. And we've had people call into the program, and my pastor, we had a caller just the other day. My pastor wouldn't talk about anything related to the election. He was saying we couldn't do that because we would lose our tax exempt status. You don't lose your tax exempt status for talking about the issues that intersected with politics and morality. You don't lose your tax exempt status for talking about the fact that no Christian can support abortion. You don't lose your tax exempt status for talking about the insanity of transgenderism and that no Christian can support that. That destroys people's lives. And so pastors need to get a backbone and courage and stand up and pray as they prayed in Acts chapter 4. Lord, give us boldness that we would speak as we ought to speak. And Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand and that signs and wonders would take place through your holy servant Jesus. When they prayed that prayer at the end of Acts chapter 4, the place where they were praying was shaken. And they began to speak the word with boldness. God will answer that prayer because he wants us to be bold. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come before his throne of grace with confidence, with boldness to speak. That's literally what that word means. With confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we have boldness to speak to the Lord. He has given us that, the freedom to speak, the freedom to share our concerns, our fears, our failures, our everything with the Lord. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Help me. I need your grace. And maybe you're a pastor or you're a Christian and you are working in a tough area and you are definitely in the minority, but determined to be the person that makes a difference. Just like Don Wildman, that one guy that made such a difference, and God blessed his efforts, and be that person. Say, Lord, use my life to glorify yourself and that I would be faithful to you. Listen, everyone knows that you're not perfect. Your kids know you're not perfect. Your spouse knows you're not perfect. People close to you know that you're not perfect. I'm definitely not a perfect person. But you don't have to be perfect to make a difference. You have to be genuine. You have to be sold out. You have to be all in. And when you are sold out, when you're all in, when you're surrendered to Jesus, he can use your life. I told our class we had Sunday night for membership class, and we had 30 people join the church. I said, listen, God is not so concerned about the perfection of your life because you're not perfect. He's very concerned about the direction of your life. And it says in 1 John chapter 1, a passage I go back to over and over and over again. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We can't live like that. We can't live duplicitously. We can't say that we're walking with God when we have this darkness, this sin that we haven't dealt with, this sin that we haven't confessed. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's us and God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How do you live the Christian life? You deal with sin. You deal ruthlessly with sin. You drag sin out of the shadows, out of those recesses of your heart that we like to keep it hidden. You drag it out and you put it under the blood. And you say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm dealing with. This is the fear that's in my heart. This is the failure that's in my heart. This is the compromise that's in my heart. Lord, would you cleanse it? Lord, would you put your blood upon it and wash it white as snow? Lord, I want to be a faithful servant. As the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." One person can make a difference. Will you be that one person in your circle of influence to make a difference, to shine and share for Jesus? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to switch gears a little bit. Let you know about an article that I read from the Baptist Press. This came in November 19th, of 2024, just a day or two ago. And it said this: "Many Americans more consumeristic than content." It's an article by Aaron Earls, and it was based on a study of 1,200 U.S. adults, and it had to do with their level of agreement with 10 statements related to issues of consumerism and contentment. And the writer of the article says, "Most Americans find themselves with a mix of values. Around 3 in 10 are closer to either extreme. 29% would be classified as prolific consumers, and 32% are truly content." So how about you? And so here were some of the statements. "I like to have the latest technology." 48% of those 1,200 said yes, they agreed with that. "I am driven to accumulate nice things." 43% said yes to that. "Shopping makes me feel worthwhile." 43% said yes to that. "I know I'm getting ahead when I have nice things." 41% said yes to that. And then this statement: "It troubles me when friends have nicer things than I do." And only 16% agreed with that. But I want to ask you, for yourself, where do you fall in the contentment versus consumerism mentality? I talked to our Strong Foundations, our young guys, young husbands and dads. We meet on Thursday mornings at First Baptist Texarkana, and we talked about money. Are you wanting to get rich? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs." And so we talked about that. Do you want to get rich? Do you think that riches are going to satisfy? And one of the big things about a Christian and riches is we can fall prey to the lie. The Bible calls that, you know, when Jesus told the parable about the sower and the seed, he went out to sow. It's really a parable about the different kinds of soil, which represent the heart. You have hard soil, you have shallow soil, and you have weedy, thorny soil, and then you have good soil. Well, one of the things that the Bible mentions about this weedy, thorny soil is that the seed goes into that soil, and it tries to come up and tries to grow, but it's choked out by the cares of this world and by the deceitfulness of riches. Riches lie. And what's the lie that we fall into, that we fall prey to with riches? That riches will satisfy. That riches are going to meet my needs. That riches will be the thing that will make me content. But that's a lie. Riches can't do that. Money can't do that. Things can't do that. Materialism can't do that. That's like if you're dying of thirst, riches are like salt water. They're not going to satisfy. That's not the purpose of riches. As Augustine said, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and we'll never find satisfaction until we find our satisfaction in you. We'll be restless until we find our rest in you." So this is what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 5, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, literally not desiring more and more and more and more. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Now, a person who thinks that riches are the thing that's going to bring contentment in life, they, for a Christian, you lose sight of the fact of what you do have. And what do we have? Well, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The Lord has given us himself. We receive Jesus. Now, Jesus comes into our hearts when we repent and believe. He comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And the Holy Spirit is there. He's the third person of the Trinity. He lives inside. Or do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. And so our character can be free from the love of money because we have something so much greater than money. You know, I read yesterday that Elon Musk is on track for becoming the first trillionaire in 2027 because his money is multiplying so quickly, and it seems like everything he puts his hand to do just explodes with success. But so what? You have $1 trillion, big whoop. What we have as believers is worth more than anything this world could possibly provide. As Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is worth more than anything. And so you give your soul to Jesus, and Jesus gives you himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 is so emphatic in the Greek because it has 5 negatives in there. It basically says, I will not never, never desert you, and I will not never leave you. Now, that's bad English to have double negatives, triple negatives, but it's great theology to have that. You know, if you say in an English paper, I will not never, never go to the store, your teacher would say, don't say it like that. Those are triple negatives. You don't have to put that in there. You just say, I will never go to the store. But when God says that, I will not never, never leave you, I will not never forsake you, that's great theology. That's the Lord saying in the most emphatic terms, you need to see what you have in me, because the King of the universe, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, the God in whom nothing is impossible and who always keeps his word, lives in your heart as a believer, and he'll never leave you. You didn't receive Christ by good works. You don't lose Christ by bad works. It's not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. It has to do with grace and faith, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, you're not saved by good works, you're saved for good works. Works don't figure into the root of salvation. They figure into the fruit of salvation. How do you know if somebody's really saved? Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Of course not. And so every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Therefore, you'll know them by their fruits, Matthew chapter 7. And so works don't produce salvation, works evidence salvation. That's why James said, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith with my works and by my works, because faith without works is dead. As my teacher in college said when I took a Bible class, it's faith alone that saves you, but faith alone is never alone. faith, true faith, always comes with works, because when you come to Christ, your life is changed and you start to produce the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. So don't fall prey, especially this Christmas, don't fall prey to becoming a consumer and thinking you're going to find satisfaction in things. You won't. Be content with what you have and live under your means, and set a goal this Christmas that what can we comfortably do? I mean, we want to buy gifts for our loved ones. That's normal. That's natural. But don't go so overboard that you put yourself into financial ruin over Christmas. You're spending money that you don't have. Consult the Lord on all your purchases. That's a good rule to live by. Say, hey, I'm not going to buy things unless I talk to the Lord about this. Do I really need this? Is this something that he would want me to have? Is this something that I can feel good about before the Lord that I purchased this? Or is this something just for me and something that was frivolous? That money could be used in a much better way. And then give generously to the Lord. You know, one of the key things that keeps your heart right so that you don't fall prey to the love of money is giving. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 5. And I have a lot of the scripture in my heart, but I don't, on certain things like that, I don't want to just go off of memory because I want to read it directly. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6, 19 through 21. There's a connection between your wallet and your heart, between your treasure and your heart. And if you struggle with money and greed and this desire for more and more and more, and some people are just kind of have a natural bent toward those things, and so you how do you break that chain from getting around you and the devil working that around you? You direct your money. You store your money in heaven's bank. You invest in the kingdom of God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is all in this earth, in stocks and bonds and this investment, that investment, the other investment, and you really don't have much at all to speak of that's in heaven's bank, well, your heart is going to be here. But you need to start directing it and start honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs chapter 3. And you start saying, I'm gonna make a commitment of my life and my finances to the Lord's work. Those are the things that last forever. God, His Word, and people, the three things that last forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. So if we put our money and our treasure in heaven's bank, then our heart will be there, and then the love of money and this longing for contentment through consumerism, that will be destroyed, and you'll find your contentment in the Lord. It's the only way to live, and it is the way of wisdom as you deal with money. We talked about being good stewards yesterday on the program, and God has entrusted so much money to us, and He's entrusted time to us, and He's entrusted opportunities to us. We don't want to be like the guy in the parable of the talents, the third guy that got the one talent, and who knows, was he bitter because one guy got five and one guy got two and he only got one? We don't know for sure, but we know he didn't do anything with what the Lord gave him. He didn't use it to further the kingdom. He wasted his opportunity. He wasted what God gave him. He buried it in the ground, and the Lord said, "You wicked, lazy slave. You should have at least put my money in the bank, and then upon my return, I would have gotten interest for my money, but you did nothing with it." And the Lord has no pleasure in any servant who wastes the opportunity that the Lord gives him. Listen, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And you and I have an opportunity today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come for us, but we have today to make a difference. Hey, I was reading, I meant to say this, about Cecile Richards, the lady that was head of Planned Parenthood for those years. She's the daughter of Ann Richards, got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, as I mentioned, for her work overseeing Planned Parenthood, that the evil organization that's got the devil's fingerprints all over it. But I read where she has brain cancer. She was diagnosed in 2023 with glioblastoma, which normally is very fatal, and fatal in just a matter of, you know, a year and a half or so, 12 to 18 months. So we need to pray for her that she would come to know Christ before she passes away. How frightful and awful it would be knowing that you're facing pending death, and you have the blood of millions and millions and millions of unborn children on your hands. May God open her eyes to the truth and break her heart over her sin. And listen, a person even that commits those terrible atrocities, as she, maybe not by her own hands, but by her influence and her oversight, did those things, she can still be forgiven. The vilest offender, as the song says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And there is no sin that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus can wash us white as snow. Listen, we're up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have something that you would like to talk about that we haven't been talking about, we're just kind of leaving it wide open when you call in. I would love to hear from you. It's always a joy to get to talk to the listeners. So go ahead and give me a call and let's talk. 888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're taking your calls and opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have something that you just have on your heart that you want to talk about, I'd love to talk to you. It's always a joy to get to talk to the listeners. So give us a call and let's talk. And our first caller is Frank from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, brother man. My call is about I wish that they the president-elect would point someone about the elected grid. This past summer, Frank Gaffney was on the radio and he was interviewing a couple of people about the electric grid. They said the electric grid is in bad shape. I wish he would appoint someone to take care of the electric grid to go nuclear. So That's why my comments about is, and he interviewed another man and to go nuclear instead of just where it is now.
Right.
But he said the electric grid is in really bad shape.
Yeah. Well, probably no doubt there. I don't know if I've done enough study on that to intelligently give you an answer on that, Frank. But definitely something that we need to look at. And I was talking to or listening to something, I think it was by Josh Hawley, and he was saying that for these climate change activists, if they really believed in climate change, they would want to go with in reducing the carbon, you know, output, they would want to go nuclear, but they don't want to do that because, oh, that's bad for the environment too. But it's like, wait a minute, I thought you said that the carbon, greenhouse gases and the carbon emissions are going to destroy the planet. And AOC said a few years ago, it's 12 years, I think we're down to 9 or 8 before we're all dead, according to her scientific calculations. And so it seems like we would want to go nuclear because that would be the lesser of two evils if you believe all the climate change hucksters. So I don't know on that issue, but I think it's good to take a look at that and see. We need to have good, solid plants working. I know we haven't had very many plants built lately with capacity and state-of-the-art equipment and things like that. So the plants are old. But anyway, I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate that question. Hey, I don't know if you heard about this, but the Illinois Supreme Court threw out the Jussie Smollett conviction. And they had a technicality. They said, well, they first declared him innocent and threw out all the you know, crimes that he had. And then they picked it back up again and said, no, he is guilty of lying about a hate crime, faking a hate crime. And so then they threw the charges back on him. Well, he appealed that. And the feckless Supreme Court of Illinois agreed, yeah, we can't convict him. So they overturned the conviction. But as Charlie Kirk wrote about it, he said, all of America knows that Jussie Smollett is a liar who committed a fake hate crime to defame half of America as violent, hateful racists. Thankfully, Smollett's stunt ruined his career and helped America wake up to the fact that hate hoaxes like his are common. Did you notice there weren't nearly as many hate crime news reports after Trump's win compared to 2016? That's because now people know they'll be laughed out of the room if they try to say a MAGA supporter grabbed their hijab or waved a noose at them. He'll always be guilty in the court of public opinion, and no far-left court can fix that. That was from Charlie Kirk talking about Jussie Smollett and the fake hate crime that that he cooked up and went on television with, and people were, oh, it's so horrible, until it became known that he made the whole thing up. I like what one guy said when he's talking about racism in America, you know, when the Black Lives Matter and the race baiters were all out there, just, you know, systemic racism in America, it's just off the chain. It's like, as that one man said, I can't remember who it was at the moment, but he said, racism is so bad in America that we have to make up and falsify race crimes. He said, you know, if that's the world we're living in, where you have to make this stuff up to try and support your false narrative, then I think that's a pretty good mark for America. Is America perfect? Absolutely not. Are there racists in America? Yes. Racism is a sin. It's not just with white people. Racism knows no bounds. People I don't care what the color of your skin is. You can be a racist against other races, and we need to eradicate that out of our hearts. I think America is way down the road. I like what Morgan Freeman said when he was on the program with Don Lemon when they were talking about racism. He said, how do you get that out of America? Quit talking about it. Quit talking about it. Just treat people as people and fulfill Martin Luther King's dream that my four little children will be judged on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. And we desperately need to get back to that. People are people, and people are responsible to God for their actions. I'm not responsible to God for what people did, 100 years before I came on the scene, or 200 years before I came on the scene. That's not on me. What I'm responsible is for what I have done, and you're responsible for what you do. And that's the way we stand before God. We're not going to be, read Ezekiel 18. You find that the child doesn't pay for the father's sins. The father doesn't pay for the child's sins. Now, the child is definitely affected by the father's sins, but he's not called into account for his father's sins. The parable that they used in Israel, that God said, no longer shall you use that. The fathers ate the sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. The fathers ate all the candy and the children have all the cavities, if you put it in a vernacular of today. And the Lord says, don't use that anymore. All souls are mine. The soul who sins shall die. You're accountable for your own life. Well, we have Joe on the line from Texas. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks, Pastor. Frank was referring to earlier is protecting the grid from a EMP, electromagnetic pulse.
Oh,
it could
okay.
either be natural. Yeah, it could be natural from the sun or from a weapon. There's been a couple of studies done, and Frank Gaffney, Secure Freedom Radio on AFR, is a great program. But there's been two studies that I'm aware of, one by Rand many years ago and then one more recently. And the study shows, now, not to scare people, God's in charge, but the studies have shown that if our grid goes down from an EMP, 90% of the United States population will be dead within 1 year. And so a lot of our enemies, like China, for instance, is on record as wanting America. They just don't want Americans. And so we've seen North Korean satellites orbit north to south over us. And WorldNet Daily and others said that those might have EMPs on it. And there's really not much protection because they can detonate that like 300 miles above, say, Kansas and take out our grid. So it's a real threat. And, in the age of hypersonic missiles that can even be brought in on, these cargo containers. So it's something to be aware of. Again, not to scare people, but it's a real serious issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Just curious, Joe, how would you go about defending against that?
There's things that they wrap the transformers in, like with a Faraday cage, and they do similar things to the transmission lines. Now, I don't know how you do it at your house. I do know there is EMP protection you can buy for your home, but it's a national issue. Matter of fact, in Texas, Tom Glass and others have been trying to get this in the legislatures, getting their attention for years, and so if you live in Texas, we have our own grid. They can do something about it. And so if it goes down, everything goes down because everything's on electricity. So
right.
It will be a disaster beyond imagination at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Joe, to clarify that. I didn't understand what he was talking about, evidently. So I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront.
Thanks.
So thanks, my friend. God bless you. Well, we have Gloria on the line from Mississippi. Gloria, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I have a question. I'd like for you to pray for us. We've been trying to support the people in North Carolina. It's so much worse than what the news really is telling people, and hardly even covered, I'm sure. I don't listen to mainstream, but I do follow a couple of people that live there. One of them is Deep River Farm, and a couple of churches that he's involved with. But we have a home in Fort Walton. Actually, it's a condo. And we've been praying about what else can we do for these people in North Carolina. And we've thought about selling our condo there and trying to help get some little tiny houses or maybe just buy one. I don't know how much they cost. But anyway, we just want to pray about this and know that we're doing the right thing. I feel like we as Christians are losing ourselves to worldly goods that's more mm-hmm. important than the life of a person. And I know that I just need someone to help us decide if we're doing the right thing. And I feel in my heart that God would have me do this. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that, do your homework on it, Gloria. But you can never go wrong wanting to be a giver, wanting to be somebody that helps other people. Obviously, you need to do it prudently. You can't give away everything you have and then have nothing. Then you don't have anything for yourself or for your family. But I think God blesses us. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And so if a lot to you is a dollar, then God repays accordingly. But if a lot to you is $10,000, just for illustration's sake, then God repays that way. You know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So I don't think you're barking up the wrong tree by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know where to direct you on finding out more about that. You haven't been there yourself?
I have not.
Yeah. Well, I know that, 8 Days of Hope is a ministry that we support as a church, First Baptist Texarkana, and then also American Family Association, American Family Radio. Samaritan's Purse has been there in mass helping the people. And so contacting those agencies might give you, more of a bird's eye perspective of what is really going on, what are the needs there, and how you can help. And if you're going to, if you're going to provide something like that, you'd want to make sure this is really a need that can be useful to the people there and really help them.
Right. Well, we hear from a few of our contacts there that they're still living in tents, and I know that it's getting weather
cold
for snow,
yeah,
and rain and all those horrible things. When you think about a person trying to live in a tent, especially just an elderly person, just breaks my heart to know mm-hmm. that this is not right. This is not good.
Right.
I just want the Lord to direct us in the right direction. But I appreciate your information about the organizations, and I will discuss. We'll discuss that, my husband and I, and see who we can get in contact with.
Well, very good. Well, Gloria, I just appreciate your heart for wanting to give and wanting to help people. And the Lord will bless that. You know, one of the great scriptures was when Jesus said, even the one that gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he will not lose his reward. So God sees. He saw the widow that put in her last, last little bit of money that she had, the widow's mite. And he commented on that. She gave more than all the rest because she gave all she had to live on. And so when we give generously, cheerfully to the Lord, he blesses us for that, and that honors him. So I appreciate your heart there. But God bless you. Thank you for calling in, and may God minister to those people as they still are so devastated by the hurricane that just ripped through their communities and caused such devastation. So God bless you, Gloria. Well, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Hope that you have a great weekend. As always, hey, we have an opportunity today to shine for Christ, to share what great things the Lord has done for us. And so pray this prayer. Lord, give me an opportunity today to talk to somebody about Jesus, and help me to know when that opportunity is before me, and help me not to chicken out. Help me to open my mouth. Help me to be the bold witness that you want me to be. And God will bless that prayer. God will answer that prayer. And God will use all those who have the heart of Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm one person. I want to make a difference. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.